Thank you for listening to this Podcast One production. Now available on Apple Podcasts, Podcast One, Spotify, and anywhere else you get your podcasts.
There is a place that is spoken about only in whispers. A dark area that spawns the beginnings of urban legends. A place where anything can happen and usually does. During the light of day, it hides just outside of view. But when the sun goes down, spirits, creatures of the night, roam free, and things do go bump in the night. It is in every state and every country, and there is no escaping it, no matter how safe you feel behind your locked doors and latched windows. So we invite you to turn down the lights and turn up your radio while we join Dave Schrader and Tim Dennis, your hosts, on a journey into the darkness on the edge of town.
Hello and welcome. You're tuned in to the best in paranormal talk radio. This is Darkness Radio. I'm your host, Dave Schrader. Along with me, Tim Dennis. Hello, Tim.
Howdy.
We've got a lot of news to cover this week. I'm not going to lie. I mean, a lot of news to cover. But I feel like we got to come out swinging with what might be one of the most fascinating headlines just to prove our point regarding Florida Man, Tim.
Okay.
Is Florida the least haunted state in the country? An online poker company says yes, because that's where you go for your most up-to-date information on the paranormal, Tim, a poker company.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's just what I'm saying. We're going to Tampa for this. As a former star of Ghost Hunters International, Angela Alderman has investigated paranormal sightings throughout the world. She considers her home state of Florida among the most haunted places she's ever been. When I walk through parts of Florida, I've heard people walking behind me, turned around, and saw no one. Alderman, a Tampa resident, says Florida has some magical places. So she was shocked to learn that online poker company Cards Chat, which is delving into content marketing, had listed Florida as the state where someone is least likely to see a ghost. According to the research, the gambling odds of seeing a ghost in Florida are 1,296,000, meaning a $100 wager would win nearly $1.3 million. Now, the state where someone is most likely to see a ghost, Illinois, where the odds are plus 110,900. That doesn't sound right, Alderman said. Heber City alone should place Florida higher. Heber ghost sightings made the list compiled of hauntings from 72 through 2020, but Tampa Theater and the Hernando Historical Museum both did, according to Anna Osborne, an England-based marketing executive who represents Card Chats. The data was collected using manual web research with keywords and combinations of keywords such as haunted, ghosts, and paranormal. If one person declared they have seen a ghost more than once, or multiple people have shared the same inexplicable event over a period of time, then we noted that as haunted. That's what Osborne said. She noted that there's no scientific proof of a haunting, so the data is subjective. Orlando is the most haunted city in Florida, according to their research, with 32 sightings since 1972, followed by St. Augustine with 15. Tampa and St. Petersburg have each had 11. Brooksville made the list with 7, and Tarpon Springs added 3 to Florida's total. Clearwater's tally is 2. So overall, Florida tallied about 1,697 publicized sightings, which is the 11th most in the nation. But calculating in Florida's high population of nearly 22 million as compared to Delaware's, say, 124 sightings with a population of just 983,000 is why the odds of seeing a ghost in the Sunshine State are the worst. Delaware ranks 45th on the list. Now, Texas had the most sightings with 7,099 with a population of 29,472,295, placing it at number 22 on the list. The following are some of Tampa Bay's most haunted spots. Ghosts apparently like watching movies in Tampa. Britain Cinemas, Folk Theater, Funland Drive-In, and Tampa Theater are each cited. Tampa Theater, they say employees have said that they occasionally hear footsteps and chains in deserted hallways behind the stage. They've also spotted someone in the projecting room. even though there was no one up there at the time, says the report. The downtown theater promotes its paranormal history with ghost tours. Spirits like tourists are apparently drawn to hotels, specifically the Don Cesar in St. Pete Beach and the Vinoy in St. Petersburg. The Don Cesar Resort was once the private residence of Thomas Rowe, reads the research. His ghost can be seen walking hand in hand with a beautiful dark-haired woman along the shore. That's the way I want to go, Tim.
Yeah.
When you see my ghost, I hope I'm clutching the hand of a beautiful, dark-haired woman. Honey, of course I mean you.
I was going to say.
You're listening, I just don't want you to join me quickly. I mean, we've got a pretty big age gap there, Tim, so I'm not in any rush for her to get to the other side to hold my hand. But, you know, hopefully that'll be what eventually will be reported.
Right. I was going to say, clarify that that's your wife. That's the dark-haired lady you're holding hands with.
And, yeah, her too. One or the other. Yeah. No, I'm just kidding. Many things have happened at the Hernando Heritage Museum, according to the report, including hearing a child cry when no children were around and seeing orbs, Tim. People have seen orbs.
Ooh, scary kids, orbs.
The museum boasts of these hauntings on their ghost tours. These structures share a common theme, said Lakeland's Mickey Strange, her real last name, a paranormal investigator with Tampa Bay Spirits. They are historic buildings. Interesting.
Hmm.
Yeah. So, you know, the article finds that Florida is least likely to see a ghost. That's because even the ghosts don't want to stay in Florida, Tim, because of Florida, man.
I don't
That's
blame
my
them.
Assessment. I could be wrong.
I wouldn't want to stick around and deal with Florida man either. I would move to a nice state where things are semi-normal.
All right, Tim, I have a story to share.
Okay.
A big, big news story.
Okay.
I mean, this could be one of the most monumental news stories we've ever had a chance to share on this program.
Sure.
Are you ready?
I'm ready.
I would like, if you could, just a little drum roll, please.
Okay.
I'll pause. All right. Now, it's Saturday, so we're a few days past the launch date of this article and what it reveals. So it actually already started a few days ago. But ladies and gentlemen, for years you've been hearing on this show, this very show, Darkness Radio, that one of the two hosts has never been properly, although haunted hospitals tried, has not properly been represented on television. Ladies and gentlemen, your long wait is over. Joining the Travel Channel family, along with yours truly, Dave Schrader, lead investigator of the Holzer Files, let me read this following story. Paranormal Night Shift examines what happens in the workplace after normal business hours when it's dark. Demons, ghosts, and other supernatural beings come out to play. Paranormal Night Shift is a new Travel Channel series that deals with workplace horrors. During the day, everything is business as usual. However, when the 9-to-5 shift ends and graveyards come on duty, the landscape changes. Shadows come out to play along with demons, ghosts, and other supernatural entities. There are definitely some creepy tales to be told. Now, there was an August 12th season premiere that both Tim and I missed. All right. And you think, well, why is that a big deal, Dave? I mean, you know, sometimes you miss shows. Well, if you paid attention to the beginning of my introduction, one of us is featured on this series.
Yeah.
And it ain't me, kids. Ladies and gentlemen, entering TV, Mr. Tim Dennis is part of Paranormal Night Shift. So, Tim, your show premiered on August 12th.
Do we know for a fact that they put me in it?
I don't. All I can say is that I know the series began airing August 12th.
Okay.
Now, it says, a host of a radio show is being terrorized by two apparitions is one of the stories. In another segment, an owner of an eating establishment is haunted by a brokenhearted woman on Valentine's Day. Finally, footsteps and disembodied voices wreak havoc on a bowling alley after hours. Some of the upcoming episodes include a writer comes face to face with an evil apparition in a hotel. A victim from an office fire comes back from the grave to terrorize a teenager. Morgues can be creepy, especially when you're a coroner's assistant being tormented by the undead. In the halls of an empty school, a janitor is being stalked by the ghost of a clown. And at a spa, upscale patrons find that they are being driven away by poltergeist activity. When an IT professional takes an assignment at a haunted factory, all hell breaks loose when otherworldly disturbances start to occur. And the final one that it mentions here. If you've ever worked graveyard shift, then you know how scary those quiet nights can be when it's just you and no other employees in sight. So there you go.
I'll have to check out that first episode when it replays to see if I made it. You know, I did film for the show.
I'm pretty sure you would make it. I mean, they don't just invite you to come on out and be a talking head and then not use you. So
you think?
Yeah, ladies and gentlemen, check out Paranormal Night Shift now on the Travel Channel. Go set your recorders. And this is funny because Tim and I talked about this on Tuesday. And I said, dude, when is your show coming on so we can promote it? And he looked it up and he goes, I don't know. They're just showing maybe one episode supposed to air sometime in the near future. But that's all the information that's there.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh, that's weird. The company that made it is behind a couple other paranormal TV shows. You'd think that they would have told you by now. And then lo and behold, I find this in my news. So check out Paranormal Night Shift on Travel Channel August 12th at 10 p.m.
It's going to be really disappointing if we played it up and I'm not in any episodes, but.
Well, no more disappointing than my Haunted Hospitals episode where you appeared as a 6'2"
African-American gentleman.
African-American weightlifter.
At least I made it in that episode. I mean, it might not have been me.
Tim, not really. But they didn't mention you by name. They didn't.
That's
they
true.
Didn't even try to get anything about you right, but
but the people who know me knew it wasn't me that made it in that episode.
That's true.
Yeah.
Right. But I thought that was good news. I told Tim I've got some good news for you. So we'll see if you made it.
Well, I will. I will hold my breath and and tune in and see if I made it on the old telly.
That's cool.
Yeah.
All right. Very good. Tim,
yeah.
I know this is something that has been in the back of your mind for years now.
Okay.
You know, has the Twilight story been told properly?
Oh, yeah. I stay up some nights, Dave, tossing and turning, wondering if it's been told properly.
Well, especially I know that you're Team Edward. I'm obviously Team Jacob. But, you know, Tim, your people get a chance to shine this upcoming year.
Oh, good.
Because Stephanie Myers is back. Her book is called Midnight Sun, and it retells the Twilight story, but this time from Edward's perspective. Oh. So poo-poo to you, Bella. You're gone as the main focal driving force of this book. I mean, obviously Bella's a part of it, but this time we get to see it from Edward's point of view.
About time.
Yeah, the worlds of fiction and film were bitten by a tale of a lonely, awkward teenager named Isabella Swan who fell in love with the handsome vampire Edward Cullen. Stephanie Meyer's Twilight saga was a dark paranormal twist on the Romeo and Juliet trope of star-crossed lovers. While it was designed for young adults, other adults latched onto it with a fanatic fervor, Tim Dennis. Over the course of five novels, Meyer entranced her fans with the breathtaking tension of whether Bella would remain in love with Edward or choose the werewolf, Jacob Black, and whether Bella would marry Edward and become a vampire or remain a human. Each novel was narrated from Bella's perspective, and for the most part, Edward remained a shadowy object of desire for both Bella and the reader. In Midnight Sun, which is being released by Little Brown Books for young readers, Edward finally gets his say. This novel, though, Tim, it should be noted, is not a prequel, nor is it a sequel. It's simply a retelling of the first Twilight novel from Edward Cullen's point of view.
Hmm.
Edward's voice is very distinctive as we discover more about him and his adopted coven of vampires, the Cullens, who reside in Forks, Washington. Like normal folks, Edward and his four siblings attend high school. And his father, Carlisle, is a respected doctor at the local hospital. Fortunately, the rainy, cloudy weather of the Pacific Northwest provides the perfect atmosphere for these vegetarian vampires to blend in with humans. Through Edward's special gift of mind reading and his hot sister, by the way, Alice's visions of the future, hidden character motivations are clarified, except that is for Bella's. For some reason, Edward is unable to read her mind, giving readers a new appreciation for his intense struggles when he meets Bella Swan at school and the relationship blossoms into love. In reading Midnight Sun, Edward is kind of a Pinocchio character, the little wooden boy who longs to be a real one. Edward, who views himself as a monster condemned to an endless night, suddenly sees the midnight sun rise when he encounters Bella. He's a teenager trapped in a 100-year-old body. He survived the Spanish influenza, World War II, the Depression, and the industrialization of America, but is an outsider, not a participant in this world, Tim. And now, finally, Tim, Team Edward rises to the forefront, and we get to hear his story. We get to see what it's like through Edward's eyes.
It's about
time. Why is he so fascinated with Bella, Tim?
I've been asking that for years.
Yeah. So maybe after the new Batman movie films, they'll re-team and do an all-new Twilight movie. Because really, Pattinson doesn't look a whole lot different, and neither does Kristen Stewart. And with that de-aging nonsense that they can do,
yeah,
I'm just saying, might be something something worth watching. Not in my life, but it might be something worth watching.
I think Pattinson ought to show up with the Batman costume on in the new one.
Oh yeah, you know, we got, I don't know if you remember this, Tim, when the first Twilight movie came out, we got to interview three of the cast members.
That's true. I remember that.
Yeah. And Team Jacob, of course, we got to talk to Jacob the werewolf. Lamont, I don't remember
Lamont
the
from Sanford and Son.
Yeah, get over here, you big dummy. I don't remember what the other two characters' names were, but there was kind of a cute redhead, and then the African American vampire, Lamont or whatever. It's something with an L. It's like Lamont. I'm not good at remembering the names, but I got to sit down with the three of them, and they were delightful. And that was before, and I can't remember the kid that played Jacob. He's, you know.
Taylor Lautner?
Yeah, Taylor Lautner.
Yeah.
That was before he got all buff. He was still kind of a wiry-looking little kid.
Yep.
So, but very nice. And I had not read the books. I had no clue what the story was, but we were given the opportunity. And do you know who filled me in on the backstory to give me information so I'd know what to ask?
I'm guessing it was one of your kids.
It was not, actually. Of all people, Grant Wilson's wife, Rihanna, from Ghost Hunters.
Really?
Yes. She stepped up in a big way. She heard what was going on, and she's like, "You're interviewing who?" So it was pretty cool. So she gave me the information. Listen, we have a lot of paranormal entertainment news to get into, Tim.
Oh, good.
We've already scratched the surface. But there's a new era of horror movies. For the first time in the very first frame, the new movie Host uses the pandemic as a scary story device instead of kind of a limitation. Hmm. When Host first starts, it takes a second to register that these characters exist in the present year. And the one, you know, where murder hornets are running rampant, there's this global pandemic, and Tim Dennis has finally made it to TV, which is the seventh seal
of
the apocalypse. I just want people to realize
that's the end of the world right there. Yeah.
Everything's been kind of radically overhauled the way that humans live and breathe right now. And it's both kind of a refreshing and terrifying break from media produced pre-pandemic stuff. So from the very first frame, Host uses the pandemic as a story device instead of a limitation. The plot entirely unfolds over a Zoom call as friends gather for a seance. Haley Bishop is the actress who plays, cleverly enough, Haley. She brings in a medium to lead the virtual ceremony, begging her friends to take it seriously. Okay? Now, of course, horror movie rules are meant to be broken. It's not long before Haley's best friend, Gemma, played by Gemma Moore, again, real good and original in those names, pokes fun at the ceremony. Seemingly terrified, Gemma clutches at her throat and fabricates the death of a classmate. Worry soon evaporates into giggles as Gemma lets the others in on the prank, but Haley isn't pleased, and neither are the spirits that they've summoned. In the horror genre, seances go awry with such frequency that it could easily feel like an echo of better told stories. But Host never falls flat, according to this article. Originally intended as a short film, director Rob Savage stretched the horror flick into a breathless 55-minute feature. Tightly wound, the thriller allows for brief moments of calm and continues to tick away towards a bone-chilling climax without overstaying its welcome. Host wouldn't be the same if it existed outside the confines of a video call. The film very cleverly utilizes elements specific to that medium to its advantage. The looping green screens, muted participants, and augmented reality filters all feel like a worthy addition rather than a distraction. The very fact that the seance takes place over Zoom diffuses the initial tensions as the friends sit down in their separate homes. And even as wine glasses shatter and attics creak, characters continue to write off ghostly encounters with disbelief as the tension ratchets up pixel by pixel. The same disbelief ends up shifting into pure terror. It's a low-budget indie horror. It's a staple of Shudder, of course, the streaming service that produced and released Host. The relatively unknown cast, paired with a simple but cutting script, show the best of what indie horror can offer. And better yet, the production and special effects never feel confined by its budget. It's rare to make a jump scare these days that can really catch viewers off guard, but Host pulls off a number of well-earned gasps all the way until its bloody end, Tim. There is no shortage of films intended for alternate 2020, from The Beach House to The Old Guard, filmed before coronavirus. They show actors clinking drinks and locked hand-in-hand combat, and they were all made with the expectation that viewers would watch them in a theater sitting shoulder to shoulder. But those make for a nice escape, but they don't feel like an accurate depiction and reflection of what everyday life has become during this pandemic, Tim. So in Host, the pandemic is central to the conflict of the story. Friends don masks before entering each other's homes, even as demonic spirits bear down on their necks. Gripping and well-executed, Host marks the beginning of countless pandemic movies to come, and it feels fitting that it is a horror movie. So that actually sounds good to me.
Yeah, it does.
Right?
Yeah.
But that's not the only pandemic horror movie. As a matter of fact, there's another one that marries two elements that our show loves so much, Tim: crime and the paranormal. This one's called The Lockdown Hauntings. Now, this movie won't be out for some time, according to the article I read about this. The author, or the creator of the movie, is going to release this on the one-year anniversary of the pandemic lockdown in the UK, where this movie was created. So it won't come out until like March 16th of 2021. So the plot line of this movie is, with the streets now empty, it isn't just nature that's taking advantage of this unprecedented global disaster. Spirits are freer than ever before, and the spirit of a notorious serial killer known as the Locksmith is back from the dead. And he has even more potential victims. So can self-isolating detective George Parker, played by Angela Dixon, with the guidance of a paranormal expert, Jordan Myers, played by legendary film and horror actor Tony Todd, prevent more young women from becoming victims of the lockdown hauntings? So it sounds like an interesting movie concept. A lot of it is, I watched the trailer for it.
Mm-hmm.
Not sure what to expect, since this was filmed all in, during the coronavirus and with no crew really to say.
Okay.
The special effects are pretty cool, and the storyline looks good. And the fact that, you have to rely on these, FaceTime calls to try to get your information, also a nice little element. So The Lockdown Hauntings, that's another one people should be watching out for, but that's, we got quite a while before that hits, too.
Yeah.
Speaking of TV, I should mention Holzer Files is reported to return October 2020. So we should be back with the end of our season. We just wrapped up our season finale, and it's a big one. It is a location that is near and dear to both of our hearts, Tim. And I can't say more, but it is it was great to get there. And it was an unprecedented opportunity because it has never been closed really to the public like it is right now. And kind of like this story talks about, the ghosts are hungry. They're looking for somebody to notice them again. And we have some encounters. It's crazy. So I just wanted to, to put that little tease in your head. I think that's going to be our season finale. I hope it is.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Hey there, it's your buddy Tim. What kind of week have you had this week? I'll tell you what, I've had a pretty good week. It's been relatively pain-free. And I'll tell you why it's been pain-free. It's been because of my friends at Feels. That's right. You may be experiencing some stress. You may have anxiety. You may have chronic pain. You may have trouble sleeping at least once a week. I'll tell you, you're not alone. A lot of us do. I know I do, but I'm getting over it because of my friends at Feels. I was searching for anything that would help, but then I discovered Feels. What is Feels, you may ask? Well, Feels is premium CBD delivered directly to your doorstep. Feels naturally helps you reduce stress, anxiety, pain, and sleeplessness. And I'll tell you, in my situation, I've got chronic pain like you wouldn't believe. Just everything, but I've told you before, but the tip of my pinky on my left hand. This past couple of weeks, I had an issue with my left shoulder, my left hip, from a car accident that you guys may be familiar with from back in October. But I'm getting over it. I'm getting over that condition. But I've had a little bit of a setback because I was on crutches and I was on a knee caddy. But I've been getting some relief with Feels. I've also been getting relief with arthritis, degenerative disc disease, also some herniated and bulging discs in my neck and back with Feels. I'll tell you, I wouldn't be able to get sleep without Feels. I wouldn't be able to get over some of the anxiety from chronic pain without Feels. Sleep comes easier. I'm able to sleep through the night with Feels. And I know I get a lot of your correspondence. Well, Tim, does this really work? Is this really something that actually works? Yes, it is. I wouldn't be here talking to you about Feels if Feels didn't help me get through the night. Feels is real easy to take. You may think, well, I'm a little over my head. I don't know if I can do this. You can. It's real easy. It's real simple. You just place a few drops of Feels under your tongue, and you feel the difference within minutes. The thing to remember about CBD is that finding the right dose is important, and everyone's dose is different. Mine is real easy. I just take a full dropper full at night before I go to bed. I take a full dropper full before I take off and do my stuff for the day. But you may need room to experiment over the course of a week or so. You may need a few drops here, a few drops there. Maybe you need a half dropper full. Just depends on your tolerance. You may need to take more or less to get the effects that you're after. It's up to what your body tolerates. Now, although I'm here for you, and I'll answer questions, I'm not the expert. You may be new to CBD. Feels is there for you. Every step of the way, they have a free CBD hotline to help guide you through your personal experience. Although, like I said, I am great about answering questions. I'm not the expert. Feels is. And they will answer every single question you have. Feel better naturally with Feels. Feels works naturally to help you feel better. There's no high, there's no hangover, there's no addiction. Many of us have been to pain clinics. Many of us who have been through this have been thrown every pill in the book. I know I've been through a lot of them. I kicked Vicodin. I was on Vicodin for years. CBD will help you get through that pain without the loginess, without the hangovers. You can do it. Now, join the Feels community to get Feels delivered to your doorstep every month. You'll save money on every order, and you can pause or cancel at any time. Although I don't know why you'd want to once you've tried Feels, by all means, you can do that at any time. Feels has me feeling my best every day, and it can help you too. Become a member today by going to feels.com/darkness, and you'll get 50% off your first order with free shipping. That's feals.com/darkness to become a member and get 50% automatically taken off your first order with free shipping. Feels.com/darkness. One more time, get 50% automatically taken off your first order with free shipping. Why stay in pain? Why do it? Why have trouble sleeping at least once a week? Why toss and turn? Why go through crippling anxiety? Treat yourself. Get yourself out of pain. Get yourself out of anxiety. Start sleeping at night. Feels.com/darkness. Do it today.
All right. Let's see what else we got here. Oh, you know, we're going back to an older movie, Tim. The Conjuring.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
The delightful little actress, Joey King, who starred in it, and she was the main you know, little girl that was being bothered by the spirits.
Mm-hmm.
Joey King was recently on the Howard Stern show and told a story while working on The Conjuring. The horror movie The Conjuring, which is still one of the freakiest paranormal real life stories to date. Before going into detail, though, Joey said, the movie messed me up for my whole life. Joey King explained, this is truly the root of why I'm so scared of that movie. In the movie, when the man gets possessed, when the mom gets possessed, she gets all these bruises on her. Well, during the filming of those particular scenes, I started having a lot of bruises show up mysteriously on my body.
Mm.
The makeup ladies thought I was stealing their fake bruises, and I was like, why would I do that? That's crazy. They didn't believe me. They tried to take my real bruises off with rubbing alcohol and oil. Now, the plot gets darker, as King continued, and the experience still visibly disturbs her 7 years later. Could she have been affected by paranormal forces while all of this was happening? That's kind of the concept they're floating. I got a couple of blood tests because they told me it looked like it could potentially be early signs of leukemia. All of a sudden, I'm told that I have this blood thinning condition called ITP. Basically, most of my red platelets drained from my body mysteriously.
Weird.
Now, King further said why this diagnosis was so odd. I had never had a blood problem in the past. I've never had a blood problem since then. No one in my family has that. I was at risk of needing a blood transfusion, and they were scared to even let me work. The actress then had to get the blood tested twice a day during filming in an effort to monitor her platelets and help her rebuild them with iron supplements. Then when I came home, my platelets were completely fine. I was back up to the normal numbers, and I've never since had a trace of that disorder. Joey King revealed that she Googled the spirit that was responsible for the haunting that inspired The Conjuring and was terrified to even write her name into the computer. She felt she was being watched. Thankfully, King is in perfect health today, but she believes the unexplainable blood issue was due to the ghostly predicament. How crazy is that?
Very, very crazy.
I mean, that's presenting cancer symptoms, but it was only when she was filming and only when she was on the set that this happened. As soon as she was released from the movie and went back home, everything's fine. That's very bizarre. But that's not the most bizarre story that we have to report on today, Tim.
Okay.
Turns out Megan Fox is a believer, Tim. And this is just your kind of crazy, buddy. No, I'm just kidding.
Right.
Megan Fox is a believer when it comes to leprechauns, Tim.
Leprechauns, you say?
I do. That's what I say. Megan Fox is a Hollywood actress, of course, who first began receiving recognition for her bombshell good looks in the early 2000s. After a string of high-profile roles in action films like Transformers, Fox took a step back from the spotlight in order to focus on her family, including her three young sons. These days, Fox is back in the limelight, making headlines for her relationship with Machine Gun Kelly. In order to deal with her notoriety, Fox stays grounded through spiritualism, including her strong belief in mythical beings. Okay, Fox was born in Tennessee in 1986 and raised by a working-class family. Her childhood was strict, and her religious family did not allow her to have a boyfriend or certain other freedoms that young women typically enjoy. So as a child, Fox began performing for friends and family, which led her parents to enroll her in dance and drama lessons. She began modeling as a teenager and eventually decided to pursue a career in acting, which led her to move to California to explore options in the entertainment industry. After a series of performances in TV shows and few films, such as Confessions of a Teenage Drama Queen, she scored her big breakthrough, of course, in the action blockbuster movie Transformers. Fox became very popular with viewers everywhere and was nominated for several Teen Choice Awards for her work in that movie. Over the next few years, Fox remained a high-profile star with her performances in movies like Jennifer's Body, receiving quite high acclaim. From the beginning of her rise to stardom, though, Fox has made headlines for her controversial statements and her opinions. Early on in her career, Fox admitted she is bisexual and she doesn't like men in general. Okay. Still, it was her decades-long romance with Brian Austin Green that really made Fox a tabloid fixture. Green, of course, being many years older than Fox, but that didn't stop them from getting married and welcoming three children together. And in early 2020, Fox and Green announced that they had, in fact, separated. Fox also earned notoriety for her belief in all things paranormal. In a 2014 interview with MTV, Fox admitted, "I believe in everything, including aliens, Bigfoot, and ghosts." In fact, Fox claimed at the time that she had had paranormal experiences, which she used as evidence to support her belief in the extraterrestrial and the extraordinary. Now, Fox's belief in the fantastic goes even further than some would imagine, because in an interview with Esquire, Megan Fox revealed that she has always been fascinated with the secrets of the universe and that in her fantasy, she would have pursued a career as an archaeologist. She went on into detail about her belief in everything unusual. She revealed, "I like believing. I believe in all these Irish myths like leprechauns. Not the pot of gold, not the Lucky Charms leprechauns, but maybe there was something in traditional sense. I believe that this stuff came from somewhere other than people's imaginations." Fox went on stating that we should all believe in leprechauns. "I'm a believer." As to why Fox finds it so important to cling to her belief in the extraordinary, the star revealed that what distracts me from my reality is Bigfoot. They are my celebrities. These days, Fox is more introspective when talking to the media, but it seems like likely that she has retained her firm belief in the paranormal. So, you know, you never think about that, right? I mean, there's that famous line, "Do you know the worst part about being Elvis and the Beatles?" Is that they didn't ever have an Elvis and a Beatles.
That's true, yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So in a sense, Megan Fox, you hit this level of stardom. Who is there outside of your world that is somebody that fascinates you? And the paranormal seems to be that outlet for her.
Mm-hmm.
All right, in what I think is our final celebrity-driven news story for today, I think. I could be wrong, Tim. It's happened before. There's a TV show called "I'm a Celebrity, Get Me Out of Here." And that's over in Europe. "I'm a Celebrity, Get Me Out of Here," which I'm hoping to appear on next season, Tim. Maybe you'll beat me there now that you've got this highfalutin show on Travel Channel.
You know, I will tell you, Dave, I don't know that Paranormal Night Shift is long for this world. I have done a little research. I don't see it on the TV schedule for next week.
We'll see.
You don't know.
I know some people. I'll put in a call. I'll find out what I can find out.
I looked under Wednesday, August 19th, for because it's supposed to air at 10 o'clock Eastern, 9 Central on Travel Channel. All I see is Paranormal Caught on Film.
They might. You know, sometimes they shift things around. So don't let that get to you. We'll look into it, Tim.
Okay.
But either way, you know, the first episode we totally missed was already out. So that happened. That happened.
Okay. Well,
I'm a celebrity.
We can only hope that it aired. I mean, it's kind of like Bigfoot. It supposedly aired. We never saw it.
All right. I'll tell you what. Whilst we're talking here, Tim, I'm going to go online right now.
Okay.
To people I know.
Okay.
I can't give specific names, Tim, because, you know, they're kind of big shots.
Okay. Okay.
But I'm going to. Okay. Let me see here. Hey, what's it called?
What's it called? Paranormal Night Shift. I think Night Shift is all one word, if I remember right. Paranormal Night Shift. You remember the song, "On the Night Shift"? I don't think they actually used the song, though. That's, you know, I don't think they could afford it. I'm not sure. But Paranormal Night Shift, did it actually air on August 12th? Because I don't see it on the schedule.
All right, so I just wrote them and I said, "Hey, did Paranormal Night Shift air on Travel Channel yet? Is it an ongoing series? My friend is one of the experts."
Well, I don't even know if I made the show.
Well, but you were one of the experts that they interviewed for. Why wouldn't you make the show? Listen, I've watched some of these shows, and listen, we're friends with some of these people, but I don't know why they're on there.
Oh.
And I don't mean that rudely.
Wow.
I don't mean that rudely. But you've actually got paranormal experience. You've been a face and a voice of the paranormal for 15 years. So, again, I'm not slamming the others, but some of them I'm just like, why wouldn't Tim be be on there? Anyway, all right, we'll see if we can get an answer. Okay. All right, "I'm a Celebrity, Get Me Out of Here" campmates will stay at Grish. How do you say this word? Grych Castle in North Wales this year instead of Australia. Yeah. And it's renowned, Tim, for its ghosts. According to the paranormal expert Sean Owen, the horse is said to roam the grounds of the 19th century folly, making noises where old stables used to stand. Hey, Wilbur, where are you? Nobody, but like everybody over the age of 48 understands that joke. But that's okay. It was a little Mr. Ed joke. A team of Ghostbusters visited the site to carry out paranormal investigation, recorded a weird animal sound. Hey, hey, everybody, how you doing? That was it. That's recording.
Satan was there?
Afterlife paranormal member Sean told Daily Star Sunday, I was filming and heard a great sound. It was a horse breathing through its nose. That was fantastic. That's what he goes on to say. What was compelling about it is that it was where the stables used to be. The new batch of celebrities, set to include Vernon Kay and Bev Callard, Tim, two of your all-time favorites.
Oh, yeah. I loved when they did that variety show together.
They might be kept awake by four other ghosts. The spooky castle is said to be haunted by the Countess, who appears as a floating lady in white, her tyrannical husband, the Earl of Dundonald, and the gamekeeper and a distressed dairymaid. Good grief. A distressed dairymaid, you say, Tim?
That's my Halloween costume this year.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Ant and Deck love the fact that the show will be staged in the castle, as there is a golf course next door. When the ITV series was staged in Australia, they would often be seen practicing their swing during breaks. Greenwich Castle lies next to the sprawling Abergele Golf Club.
Sure.
A spokeswoman for the club said, if Ant and Deck want to play at our club, they're more than welcome. They're just open to it. So this, I wonder if they're going to play into the paranormal for this series, putting them in a well-known haunted castle.
I would hope so, yeah.
Yeah, you would hope so, but that doesn't always mean that they're going to do it.
Well, true.
Yeah. All right, let's take a quick break. We'll come back. We've got more stories to share, more bizarre encounters, plus your phone calls when we return to the best in paranormal talk radio. This is Darkness Radio.
Bombas makes the most comfortable socks in the history of feet. They have literally rethought every little detail of the socks that we wear to make them way more comfortable. In fact, I wear them every single day, and I wear them in a different kind of way. Let me explain to you. First of all, I don't have ordinary feet. I have extraordinarily weird feet. In fact, I have extraordinarily weird feet in the fact that they like to break down on me. You may be familiar. I've talked about them before. I have a normal foot on my left foot, and I have an extraordinarily terrible foot on my right foot. In fact, it's so broken down from diabetes that it's a Charcot foot. Look it up. It's incredibly French, incredibly rare, and incredibly broken. Broken in 100 and some places. I want to say it's like 50, 60, 70, something like that. But it all mended back together. And I wear what's called a crow walker boot. And it comes all the way up to right underneath my knee. So I can't wear a regular sock on that right foot. I have to wear a compression sock. So Bombas makes the best compression sock in the business. It's soft. It actually keeps you cool under this stifling crow walker boot, which is made out of foam. Think of stuffing your foot into a hard plastic and non-breathable foam cast all day long, and it just sweats and sweats and sweats. Yeah, it's stifling, okay? But now put a Bombas sock that keeps your foot cool all day long into this stifling casket of a, that's what it is, the stifling casket for your foot. Bombas manages to keep my foot cool in the stifling casket for my foot all day long. Not only that, but does what a compression sock is supposed to do, which is keep that blood from pooling in that damaged foot of mine. And it does everything it's supposed to do wonderfully. I love Bombas. That compression sock is the best thing ever. And it does it with Bombas style. Focus on the good foot for a second here. The Goodfoot gets a lovely Bombas quarter sock, which matches in color to the compression sock. That quarter sock. I love these quarter socks. Also has your typical, and I say typical, nothing is typical with Bombas, of course, but it has that great honeycomb arch that supports you where you need to. It's got the great seamless toe. It's got that great heel. Best of all, it keeps me warm in the wintertime, cool in the summertime. It's a perfect Bombas sock, which, by the way, I've taken my Bombas socks to my orthopedic podiatrist. He loves Bombas as well. Bombas is absolutely perfect. It is the perfect sock. You've got to try them for yourself. Now, these socks do more than just keep your feet cozy. We've talked about how cozy and how perfect Bombas is. They're perfect in other ways as well. They help give back to the most vulnerable members of our community, which is another reason why Beyond the Darkness loves Bombas so well. Because for every pair of socks that you purchase, Bombas donates a pair to someone in need. The generosity of Bombas' customers has allowed them to donate over 34 million pairs of socks and counting through their nationwide network of 3,000 plus giving partners. And we know that you, the listening audience of Beyond the Darkness, are part of those giving partners, and we appreciate you for that as well. The impact is more powerful than ever. To those experiencing homelessness, these socks represent the dignity of putting on clean clothes, which is a small comfort that's especially important right now. Here's what we want to do right now. We want to give a pair when you buy a pair of Bombas socks. And we also want to give you 20% off your first purchase at bombas.com/darkness. Take advantage of it right now. Go to bombas.com/darkness for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/darkness for 20% off your first purchase. Give a pair when you buy a pair. Let's become part of a giving partner and give back to our communities this summer. Go to bombas.com/darkness for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/darkness for 20% off your first purchase. Bombas.com/darkness. Do it today.
Hey, hey, hey. This is NFL Hall of Famer Ray Lewis. I'm excited to announce my new podcast, Everyday Greatness. The Ray Lewis Podcast. I'll be talking with friends, family members, old teammates, athletes, celebrities, moguls, and guess what? I'll be talking to you. Listen, this is all in the search for everyday greatness. So I'm asking you to come along with me on this ride. Download new episodes of Everyday Greatness, the Ray Lewis Podcast, on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and on podcast1.com. It's not what you have. It's what's inside of you that actually inspires greatness.
Welcome back to the program. Listen, maybe you'd like to be a part of the program. Well, we're going to make that happen for you. How, you may say? Well, you're going to pick up your phone. You're going to dial these numbers, 651-300-4977. That's 651-300-4977. That's our Voices from Beyond voicemail. Finally, some of you are stepping up and becoming an active participant. Apparently, you've gotten off your COVID fat asses and decided it's time to share your stories. Well, hey, Tim, we charge nothing for this show. The least they could do is call in and share their stories. But we've all been lulled. I've been one of them, lulled into this COVID coma of, oh, I'll get to that. Oh, I'll do that next week. There's no rush to do anything right now, Tim.
Well.
Right? Mm-hmm. So people are just like, oh, yeah, I got stories. How do I know? Because I get messages. Oh, I love your guys. I eventually am going to call in. But they don't. But they are. They're starting to call back in. 651-300-4977. Get off your COVID ass. Call us. Share your stories. We want to hear about your paranormal experiences. Have you had some since the crisis began and lockdown happened? If so, are they different than what you had experienced before? 651-300-4977. Give us a call. Just like this caller.
Hey, Dave and Tim. I was just listening to your recent Parashare episode For starters, I totally thought that Dave was going to be like, oh, hey guys, this is Satan, and this is a recording of me talking. But he totally says, come into the fire and bring Tim too. I know you don't want to possibly believe that, Tim, but I heard it, and then Dave said it. And then you played it again, and the devil is definitely saying, and bring Tim too. Watch out, Tim. I love you guys. You're the best. Keep up the great work. Talk to you then.
Hey, Dave and Tim. Big fan of the show. I just wanted to share my story. I lived in a 275-year-old house up until just recently, and you'd expect a lot of things to be going on there, but I only had a couple, but they were kind of interesting, I suppose. The biggest one was I was upstairs in my bedroom, which is the whole house. It's a huge room. And I heard I would have a lot of people come over. I would have a lot of people come over a lot of times and just show up and come in the door. And so I heard noise downstairs, and I just thought it was somebody that, came over. And I heard somebody running through the living room, which is below the bedroom, and start running up the stairs and then just stop. And there was nobody there. And, so I figured that I'd share that with you. Yes. There you go.
Very cool. See how easy that is, folks? Just pick up your phone and give us a call, 651-300-4977. That's 651-300-4977, Tim. And that's how easy it is to become a part of the show.
Yes, indeed.
I try to make it as easy as I can for the people.
I see that, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. All right, speaking of the people, let's read a story. Do you want to read a story? Shall we do that, Tim? Shall we read one of the stories that's been sent in?
I believe we should, yeah.
Dear Dave and Tim, I sent my story in an email rather than calling. See, just like we were talking about.
Yep.
But I forgive for that because I prefer to listen to Dave's smooth, finely honed voice rather than mine. Smooth and Heinle phone. Heinle phoned. I think, sure. I'm speaking bass ackwards now, Tim.
That is bass ackwards. Yes, it is.
Yeah. My smooth and finely honed storytelling voice is what she's requesting. So I shall deliver it, Tim.
There you go.
Back in February, before the pandemic forced lockdown, my mother-in-law was in hospice, coming to the end of her days on Earth. The family members took turns by her bedside, holding her hands and talking to her. As her condition worsened, she was drifting in and out of consciousness and mumbling. One evening, when two of her granddaughters were in the room with her, she suddenly opened her eyes wide and clearly said, "You're all doomed." She relaxed back into the pillows and shut her eyes. Those were the last words she spoke. She passed away a few days later. We were all a bit confused when the granddaughters told the rest of the family that Grandma had said what she had that evening. I was envisioning alien spaceships like ones in the Independence Day. A few weeks later, when the full nature of COVID-19 pandemic hit, we all figured Grandma must have received a tip from a family member on the other side. Too bad she wasn't a bit more specific so we could have stocked up on toilet paper and cleaning supplies. Thanks to you both for all of your hard work putting these shows together. I've been listening since 2006, and I'm so glad the show has continued in all of its various forms. Keep up the good work and keep your powder dry. And that's from Cecilia.
Wow.
No, that story didn't just terrify me.
Yeah.
God, your last words? See, but you know what? I'm kind of a smartass. I could see that being my last words just to mess with people.
Oh, yeah.
But I don't know that that's this case. You're all doomed. And then she passes away. That's actually might be the most terrifying story I've ever read on the show.
Yeah.
I don't mean that dismissively or anything along those lines. That just that concept is absolutely terrifying to me.
Yeah. Something tells me that's not a joke. Yeah. That was straight out serious.
Hello, Dave and Tim. First things first, y'all have the best radio personalities ever. I'm a longtime listener, and I absolutely love the show. If I ever have a bad day, I simply listen to one of the podcasts, and it instantly brightens my mood. So for that, I say thank you. I grew up in an old farmhouse near a plantation in the South, so I've had my fair share of paranormal encounters and whatnot. Shadow people, voices, growls, things being thrown, phantom cars, ghost nuns, etc. Nothing has quite disturbed me until about a month ago. Good God, all of that has happened and none of that bothered her until something recently?
A tough person.
Now, I live by myself in not the best neighborhood. I have a big dog who does her job at alerting me to anyone coming down the driveway, but because I've had some equipment stolen out of the outdoor laundry room, I've decided to purchase a security system, the Amazon Blink, just for good measures. I've captured anything from typical birds flying around, bugs, rain, and moving branches to my dog running at full speed and tripping on a rock. It always interesting to look at what trips the camera when I wake up in the morning. I was in for a shock when last month at around 4:30 to 4:45 a.m., I caught what looks like a shadow person walking onto the carport and reaching for the laundry room door. I've sent the video to Blink representatives. They cannot explain what it is. I'd love y'all's opinion on what you think it is. I know the carport is a little messy in the video, but you can still see what appears to be a shadow walk onto the concrete from the back left corner. Keep up the good work. Let me know what y'all think. Sincerely, Claire. I saw the footage, Claire. I see exactly what you're seeing. It appears that a shadow figure walks in and tries to open the door. I can't answer what it is. I don't know what it is. It looks like you caught a ghost, and I'm not saying that dismissively either. It's weird. You know, if it was just here's what I would say. If you had multiple cameras in the house, there's sometimes something called ghosting, which if the camera's frequencies, especially if they're wireless, if the camera's frequencies are a little maladjusted and somebody's walking through the kitchen, it might actually kind of ghost on other cameras. So it appears that that's what's picking up, but it's actually kind of like a transparency. It's overlaying in these different areas. But I don't think that's the case here. And especially if this happened overnight, unless, again, if you have a camera in a different area filming and this, it just so happens to line up that if somebody came walking up and went to grab a door, it would line up in the same way. I don't know. But then you would have seen that footage on another camera. This is weird. Good stuff, though. Thank you for sharing. And please, please stay safe. I wonder, did your dog respond at all? Was anything else strange happen that night?
Good question.
All right. You know what? I'm going to read one more, then we're going to get back to some news stories, okay?
Okay.
Hello, Dave and Tim. My first time writing into the show, mostly because I've got a voice for silent film, but I've been a longtime listener, and I love the show. I write you gentlemen today to get your opinions on one of the most perplexing paranormal experiences. While I won't give out the exact location of this experience, just know it's a typically busy place nestled next to a busy tourist area in the Midwest. The particular incident happened about 12 years ago and in one of the many restaurants this location has, and was also witnessed by one of my coworkers. We were behind the serving area counter one quiet morning, having a conversation when all of a sudden we both notice, at the same time, an invisible force pushing back the latch for an ice on the shelf serve soda machine. And the ice came out as it would. And this is followed by the latch for the Diet Cola being pushed back by the same invisible force. It was over within seconds and we were stunned, looking at each other saying, "What the beep was that?" And we said it at the same time. I was a faithful watcher of ghost hunters and knew immediately that I had to try to debunk what was happening. The thing is, I couldn't find anything that could have pushed back either latch, nor could I detect any electrical issue. To this day, I have no idea what could have caused this to happen, even years after I left that place. Thanks for all you guys do. Thanks for your time. I'll be sure to write in with more down the road. Be well and be safe. And that comes from Corey. Well, if it was just one of them being triggered, it would, you know, I think maybe there was a mechanical flaw or it hadn't been properly released. But the fact that it was ice first, then soda, that's weird. And that two of them went off, one right after the other. That is a bizarre, I don't know what to tell you. I don't know what to tell you. Good to know that in the afterlife, Tim, I still may have cravings for soda.
Yeah, I live on soda, so yeah. Good to know.
Stop. Yeah. We gotta stop.
Yeah.
Oh my God, it was so good before the pandemic, Tim. I'd given up completely on soda. I was down 40 pounds filming the Holzer Files, and since the pandemic, I think I now weigh 398 pounds. I'm back to soda. I'm eating everything and anything. Pencils, pads of paper.
That's not good.
Sugary treats, whatever. I'm eating.
Mm.
Yeah.
Not good. Something wrong.
Yeah, you know, it's boredom is what it is.
Yeah, that'll get you, especially, you know, yeah, I suppose.
Boredom.
Yeah.
Boredom and stress. That's the team.
Yep. They're harsh mistresses, that's for sure.
That they are. Yeah. All right, let's power through these last couple of stories. What say you?
I say yay.
Okay, here we go, Tim. We're going to St. Osyth, Essex's most haunted village, where spooky things have happened. So this is a Supernatural News and Parashare, because it's a new story that goes into different paranormal experiences, Tim.
Okay. I like it.
Just 5 miles west of Clacton-on-Sea lies Essex's most haunted village, the small village of St. Osyth, named after the 7th century saint and princess, is steeped in history. St. Osyth, Afethethethethethethethethethethethethethethethethethethethethethethethethethethethethethethethethethethethethethethethethethethethethethethethethethethethethethethethethethethethethethethethethethethethethethethethethethethethethethethethethethethethethethethethethethethethethethethethethethethethethethethethethethethethethethethethethethethethethethethethethethethethethethethethethethethethethethethethethethethethethethethethethethethethethethethethethethethethethethethethethethethethethethethethethethethethethethethethethethethethethethethethethethethethethethethethethethethethethethethethethethethethethethethethethethethethethethethethethethethethethethethethethethethethethethethethethethethethethethethethethethethethethethethethethethethethethethethethethethethethethethethethethethethethethethethethethethethethethethethethethethethethethethethethethethethethethethethethethethethethethethethethethethethethethethethethethethethethethethethethethethethethethethethethethethethethethethethethethethethethethethethethethethethethethethethethethethethethethethethethethethethethethethethethethethethethethethethethethethethethethetheth gain notoriety after the execution of witches. I just want to combine words. That's the problem. My mind's so fast. It just wants to make it executions, which is execution and witches all kind of blended together. St. Asaph gained notoriety after the execution of witches during the 16th and 17th centuries. I don't know if this is such a velvety, finely honed voice after all, Tim. I can't read simple words. One of the witches is said to haunt the village to this day, but that's not the only reported paranormal sighting. Here are some of the other spooky legends and stories of St. Asaph. St. Asaph's daughter of the great Frithwald, king of the East Saxons, is said to have died for her faith. It's claimed that she stood up against a band of Danish raiders who demanded she and her nuns in her nunnery give up their religion. Stories tell of her being beheaded by the raiders. They say that following the execution, St. Asaph picked up her head and walked to the doors of the nunnery, where she knocked three times before collapsing. Her ghost is believed to still walk around the priory walls on the night of October 7th every year. But St. Asaph's legend begins when she was a young girl. She reportedly drowned in a nearby stream. After 3 days of praying, St. Asaph was reportedly revived by nuns from the local covenant. Not covenant, Tim. Covent. There's a difference. Yes, yeah. Covenant is like a contractual agreement. Mm-hmm. A covenant is a place where nuns hang out.
Right.
Yeah, let's just clear that up.
Okay.
It is St. Asaph's as well, where you can find Essex's most haunted house, known as The Cage. We've talked about that on the show in the past, Tim. We've had guests on talking about The Cage, including the former owner. Despite looking like an innocent, quaint cottage from the outside, The Cage is actually said to be one of the most haunted houses in the whole of Britain. At one point, it was used as a medieval jail. It is the most famous for having held the convicted witch Ursula Kemp before she was hanged in 1582. More recently, it's been a huge attraction for paranormal enthusiasts. One of its previous owners, Vanessa Mitchell, who we've talked to on the show, claimed she was terrorized by ghosts, which forced her out of that home. Vanessa recalls regularly seeing ghostly figures and a satanic goat, and even claims that she was once pushed over while pregnant by an unknown force. She wasn't fully aware of the house's past when she bought it, but 4 years in, she felt she had no choice but to leave. However, Vanessa was unable to find anyone who wanted to buy the house for a whopping 12 years, so the house sat empty since 2009. But earlier this year, Vanessa managed to find a buyer. The spooky events started for Vanessa the day she moved in and continued for the whole time that she lived there. As someone who has always believed in ghosts, Vanessa claims to have seen ghosts in the past, however, said nothing ever compared to being in the cage. She says she has seen the ghost of a wrinkled man as well as having blood splats appear out of nowhere. The final straw was when one of her son's toys turned itself on and circled around her feet. Vanessa claimed that the cage has been considered one of the most haunted properties in the world, and it's attracted film producers, ghost hunters, and all types of enthusiasts. Next, we'll talk about the secret tunnel. And I do want to make a mention, since that last one we were talking about Vanessa being kind of the single mom living in this house, that's the focus of tomorrow's show, Tim. Omnipresent. We're going to talk with Lynn Monet about her paranormal encounters, which terrified her and chased her out of her new home after two nights of staying there. It's a really dark, very weird story. Make sure you tune in tomorrow. More on the Best in the Paranormal Talk Radio as we talk about Omnipresent, a dark force, right here on Darkness Radio. The next story, though, a secret tunnel in St. Athos area, Tim, is believed to have once connected St. Athos Priory and a country house called Wheeler's in Thorington Parish near Wivenhoe. Wheeler's is said to have had a haunted room. According to legends, no one would ever live in that room, and wallpaper and plaster was never able to stick to the walls. The underground passage is believed to have linked the haunted room to the priory. Stories tell of a dark resident who would be seen in the tunnel, and a skeleton was once found in there. Wheeler's no longer exists, but Fratting Abbey Farmhouse has been built on the site. Again, Tim, mm-hmm. I love England, and I love our English listeners.
Right.
But the names of their locations are the stupidest things I've ever heard.
Very screwy.
I swear to God, yep. It sounds like they looked up and looked at strange things, right? It's like, ah, yes, Pill Cap Speaker Ding Ton. Right? Yeah, what the hell are the names of these towns?
I don't know.
Yeah. The ghost of St. Asif isn't the only specter haunting the priory. According to the Essex Ghost Hunters, there have been a number of sightings in the property. Among them is the ghost of a monk who had been spotted several times walking the estate with a candle. Between the 1940s and 1980s, part of the building was used as a convalescence home. One of the nurses, Mrs. Joy Bennett, or Joyce Bennett, rather, was called to the priory one day by a cleaner. The cleaner claimed that the carpet had been trying to throw her against the wall. Joyce had the carpet fixed down, but later claims to have witnessed the carpet moving again, suddenly throwing the cleaner into the wall. Joyce also claims to have encountered a ghostly presence in the laundry room. She confronted them, as no one else should have been in that room, but suddenly the person wasn't there. Joyce says that all that was left was an icy patch where the figure had been. Other people have told her that they've seen a monk in that room, while one even claimed to have seen him walk through the walls. How about that?
Whoa.
That's spooky nonsense right there.
Yeah.
Thank you, Joey Lawrence. Did you just channel Joey Lawrence for me?
I did, yeah, yeah. That's the only channeling I can do, and he's still alive, so, you know.
Yeah, pretty crazy. Yeah. But his career, not so much. So.
No, like, it's dead on arrival.
Yeah. Channeling 1980s Joey Lawrence.
Whoa.
All right. Paranormal Team has captured a ghost of a Cornish tin miner on video. Yeah, you heard that right, Tim, a tin miner. A mom and daughter ghost hunting team say they've caught the ghost of a Cornish tin miner on video. The Cornish ghost whisperers were filming a Facebook Live paranormal visit to a ruined mine for their 12,500 followers when they caught the spooky figure on film. Falmouth-based Candace Collins, her mom Suzanne Collins, and Candace's partner Nick Pierce were astonished by what they saw. Candy told Cornwall Live, "We visit sites such as cemeteries across Cornwall every week and film a Facebook Live. Previously, we have filmed a spirit dog running through Kennel Val Woods. But this was even more amazing. The ghost hunters visited Wheel Francis between Turo and Perranporth, home of a ruined mine." More proof that in England they just name things stupidly, Tim. Candace takes up the story. "We were going to go somewhere else, but found that the destination was on private land, so this was a last-minute decision. We started going live in the car park at around 10:20. It was very misty. As we started walking down, this figure was seen standing there. The figure of a man clearly can be seen standing near the remains of an engine house. On the film, it was captured on Candace's mobile phone. When Cornwall Live said it could be mistaken for a real-life human, Candace said there was something not quite right about it. And then the man vanished into thin air. She added the figure was on this sort of cliff top, just standing there watching us. The man was all gray and the movements were distorted. I called out to him, 'Hello? Hello?' But there was no response. Where he was standing was really high up and a difficult climb with a sheer drop on one side. I can't see how anyone could have climbed down suddenly without any noise. And then it just vanished." Candace believes the figure was that of a ghost of a tin miner, Tim.
Tin miner, you say?
"A few tin miners died at that place. It did not look right. It had distorted movements, like moving side to side, robotic. All three of us stood there in disbelief. It was so high up on the platform, then gone within a second."
Oh! Oh!
Trying to give you some kind of eerie music, and somehow I just started channeling Led Zeppelin.
Yeah, I was going to say, yeah, it sounds like the Immigrant Song, but yeah.
Yeah, well, you know, it is what it is. Why? It's not ignorant, Tim, it's immigrant.
I said the Immigrant Song.
Just easy with you. The way I did it was kind of ignorant, though, I will say that.
A little bit, yeah.
All right. Our final three stories are upon us, Tim. Let's read one and then go to a call. What do you say?
Sounds good.
A driver's terrified after spotting black figures staring at him from an abandoned school. A weird video shows what looks like a black human-shaped figure or a ghost standing in the window of an abandoned building. And I just realized, Tim, that as I'm sitting in this chair, mm-hmm. every time I move, are you hearing farty noises? Listen.
Yeah, I heard it there. It was more like a door creak, but it could be farty.
I'm glad it sounds like door creak because from my headphones, it sounds like, hang on.
Yeah, that's a farty noise right there.
Yeah, that was a good one.
First one was door creak. That one was a little more farty. Yeah.
It's more, I think it's the way I shift. I said shift, Tim.
Oh, shift. Right.
I shift. Let's see. Okay. Hold on. Listen.
Okay. That was a door creak.
It's like this weird old like 1970s looking chair.
Okay. Ooh. That just sounds like you're ruining your pants right there.
What? Shifting?
Yeah.
A weird video shows what looks like a black human-shaped figure or ghost standing in the window of an abandoned building and looking directly at the people filming. Suddenly, I'm boring myself. Right into it. <yawn. laughs> I fought that one, and it came out anyway. All right. In the clip, let me try spicing it up. Ready?
Right.
A weird video shows what looks like a black human-shaped figure or a ghost standing in the window of an abandoned building looking directly at the person filming. I don't know why I chose piratey voice to try to excite the story and keep me from yawning. In the clip recorded at night, a driver and their passenger drive past a building said to be an abandoned school. There's a dark shadow in the window, appearing almost like a human, standing, staring out towards the road. Oh my God, he's still in there, someone says. And he hasn't moved, they add later. Suddenly the car lurches forward just as the mysterious black figure comes sharply into focus, although still at a bit of a distance. Ooh, that is creepy. The clip was shared on the Reddit forum Ghosts with the caption, "A friend and I drove past an old school that is open to doing paranormal tours. This is what we saw after driving past the school 4 to 5 times, including a 5-minute wait at a stoplight. It was quickly picked up by believers in the paranormal. Clearly spooked, one viewer wrote, ghost or not, it's creepy nonetheless. Yeah, that is kind of weird.
Yeah.
I don't know what that is, but it is some hella damn creepy, said another. Are those words even a sentence? I don't know what that is, but it is some hella damn creepy. But other people on the forum were divided, and they said the creepy silhouette could have been a number of non-paranormal things. Oh, shut your whore mouths. You don't know. What if it's just a cutout or something? You know, for pranks like this.
Yeah.
A second. Do they charge for paranormal tours? Could it be a publicity stunt so people will come visit? Oh, you sayers of nay. See, that's naysayers, Tim.
Oh, right, right.
See, talk. Sometimes fancy talk and you put words behind the words you're trying to say.
I see, yeah.
Tim, good news for you.
What's that?
School's back in session.
I don't know that that's good news, but okay.
Well, you can study psychokinesis. You know, the power scene in the Stranger Things TV series?
Oh, yeah.
Your favorite university, Tim? Edinburgh.
Oh.
You could go study there. Then you can actually wear a University of Edinburgh sweatshirt, Tim.
How many uras are go across the sweatshirt? I mean, does it wrap around the back?
Not enough.
Yeah.
Yeah. Are you a lover of all things paranormal, obsessed with the unexplained, convinced that there's something out there? Well, we're here to believe you. Did sound like the opening of Ghostbusters, didn't it? Well, there's a course at Edinburgh University that could be just for you. Parapsychology has actually been taught at the University of Edinburgh for more than 50 years, and you can study a PhD or do an online course in some pretty strange things, Tim. As well as examining the possible existence of psychic ability, students can also investigate experiences and beliefs in the paranormal, like trying to decipher what this noise is, Tim.
I think that is my knees and my colon.
Oh, no, that's just the sound of my chair kicking underneath me.
Okay.
Not paranormal, by the way.
Oh, okay.
The department studies extrasensory perception, ESP, and psychokinesis, the psychic power held by Eleven in the TV show Stranger Things, using a procedure called the Gansfield. The Koestler Parapsychology website says that Gansfield is a mild sensory isolation procedure that some researchers believe to be conducive to extrasensory perception. In a standard Gansfield ESP study, one participant, the sender, attempts to mentally communicate a randomly chosen image or film clip to the target, the other participant. The sender and receiver are placed in separate rooms. The receiver reclines in a comfortable chair, sign me up, wears translucent eye shields, sounds good, mm-hmm. is bathed in red light, and listens to white noise. It's a lot of color going on there.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah. Bathed in red light. Superman wouldn't like that, Tim.
Nope. His powers would go right down the shitter.
Would you like, you know, white noise, Tim? I don't, for listeners that don't know what white noise is it's a solid kind of a staticky noise mm-hmm. that creates a template that is believed to, you know, allow things to be heard. Let me give you an example. This is some white noise.
God.
What?
I was thinking more of like a
there's many varieties of white noise, Tim.
Right.
I'm just giving, you know, the Gilbert Gottfried variety.
Oh, God. Yeah.
It's like when you get Waze for your phone to tell you, you can choose different voices.
Right, yeah.
So you can choose the different level of white noise you want. You can have the nice Tim Dennis white noise. Let's hear that again. Or straight up Gilbert Gottfried. Ah!
Oh,
right?
Yeah.
Try to send me your mental image, Tim. All right.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
All right. Let me get back into the story. That's what people are tuned for, Tim.
Yeah.
Not two fat, dumb white guys trying to be funny, as many of the uncomfortable reviews have stated.
Ah, yes.
A target is then randomly chosen from a large selection of images or films and shown to the sender. Whilst the sender looks at the target, the receiver describes any thoughts or images that come to mind. Students can also learn all about hauntings and premonitions or precognitive dreaming, and it's all absolutely fascinating. Mm-hmm. However, don't get excited thinking that you could become the next Matilda, as the course will not teach you how to be psychic, read minds, or be a ghost hunter or a goose hunter. They're not going to teach you that, Tim.
No.
Won't teach any of that. The course is now recruiting for its next intake of short course students on September 7th. The 11-week online course designed and led by Professor Caroline Watt involves contributions from the world's leading parapsychologists and am I having a stroke?
Maybe.
World's leading parapsychologists and skeptics, not leading parapsychologists and skeptics.
Right.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You know what? You can register your interest in anything but ordinary courses. And should I include a link to that course on today's program, Tim?
If you like, sure.
Why don't I do that? Why don't I – let me see. Let's see if this is a link. You know what? I'm also going to reach out to this gal and see if she would be interested in appearing on the old radio show, Tim. We have this little weekly program.
Yeah.
See
if she'll teach us how to be a goose hunter.
Yeah. Especially those Canadian bastards.
Yeah.
The geese, that is, Tim.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. Let's see. Welcome to the Kestler Parapsychology Unit website, established in 1985. We are based in the psychology department at the University of Edinburgh, teaching and researching parapsychology. Our work examines the possible existence of psychic ability, anomalous experiences and belief in the paranormal, deception and self-deception, historical and conceptual issues in parapsychology. We invite you to explore the site and discover more about our work. I might actually sign up for the course, Tim.
Okay.
I wasn't asking for permission. I'm just, you know.
I was, you know, pulling a Chad there. I was like, okay.
What's a Chad?
What's a Chad? You're not watching much SNL these days. I know you're out on the road, but.
I never do anyway because the show sucks. But
hey, come on now.
Yeah, just saying, I'm going to send you the link as well, Tim.
Okay.
I'm going to put that link up so that you can find the page to parapsychology application form. You can complete the form and register for online parapsychology courses run by the Kestler Parapsychology Unit. So I'll include that link on today's program. How about that, Tim? We're bringing education to the unwashed masses of America.
Yeah. Go out and educate yourself.
It's what I like to do, Tim. I'm a giver when it comes to this stuff. You know that. I'm a giver.
Yeah, look at you.
All right, Tim, let's take our final phone call for today. Wait, you guys get phone calls? We do. Rarely, but we get them. 651-300-4977. That's 651-300-4977. You can call and just wish us well. You can tell Tim how sexy he is. You can tell me how much you like my velvety dulcet tones and complete butchering of the English language. Or you can call in and share a paranormal encounter, ghosts, UFOs, Bigfoot, angels, ESP moments, precognitive dreams, weird stuff. We want to hear from you, but call in and share your story. You have 3 minutes to leave up to a story. But if you have your stories longer, just hang up and call right back and continue with that story. Tim will put them together into one free-flowing tale. So please do that. 651-300-4977. Let's hear that caller right now.
Hey, man, Dave. What's up? Hey, I want to start this off just by saying I do have a speech impediment and a stutter, so if it's difficult to understand, I am sorry. I called a couple years ago, I think, about the Sasquatch story, and I just wanted to call about the other story I have. So probably a year and a half ago, I was living in an apartment, which wasn't too scary or anything like that, but it just gave off this weird vibe there. Anyways, there was one night where I was just sitting on a couch, and all of a sudden I hear something right in my ear say, "Get up," but it just sounded like, "Get up, just really, like, loud, but whispering, and it scared the shit out of me. It scared me, and I got up, and as soon as I got up, the picture above me just fell right where I was sitting. I thought, okay, this is spooky. Now, fast forward to about, I'd say, 4 months ago now, my the dog just passed away. And she was only a year and 6 months, and I love that thing she did to death. I was super upset when he passed away. It was the night that he passed. I was still up. It was about 1 a.m. I was with my fiance, and we were both just upset. She was on the couch. I was pacing back and forth kind of thing. And I hear the same female in my head. Saying, it will be okay. And I look to my fiance, and I go, huh? And she didn't say anything, and I recognized it, but I didn't want to, or I couldn't piece it together. And then later I pieced it together, and it was the same voice that told me to get up on the couch a year ago, or about 2 years ago. Now, I'm an atheist or agnostic. I don't really know what I am. I don't think there's a God, but I don't think we're the only ones out here kind of thing. I don't know if it could have been a guardian angel or whatnot, but I just think that was super cool, kind of. Anyway, guys, I love the show. I did want to mention that at the time, I worked at a mortuary. So I was in contact with the dead every day. And I told my mom and dad about it. And they think that might have something to do with it. You know, maybe since I work there, I'm a little bit more connected with that whole other side, even though they pass. I don't know. I mean, maybe that's a little far-fetched. I honestly have no idea what it could be or how it could come to play, but yeah, I just wanted to mention that too. So thanks, guys. Bye.
All right. That's how easy it is to do. You can also email your stories to me, dave@darknessradio.com. That's dave@darknessradio.com. Our final, I said one story, Tim. I lied. I have two because I forgot that I have one under a special category.
Oh, okay.
This is the first one. Egypt invites Elon Musk to see whether aliens built the pyramids or not. Yeah, that's weird. One of Egypt's top government officials has invited multi-billionaire tech mogul Elon Musk to visit the country and see for himself that the Great Pyramids were not built by aliens. Tesla and SpaceX CEO Musk earlier tweeted, "Aliens built the pyramids, obviously." And that was retweeted more than 88,000 times. Could we just get him to tweet, "Listen to darknessradio.com"? 88,000 times.
Maybe if we told him we were built by aliens, he would do that. Yeah,
I'm even willing to get high with him, Joe Rogan style, Tim, if that's what it takes for me and Elon to, or Mr. Musk, as he likes to be called, to bond, Tim.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah. Willing to do it. Yeah. Musk also tweeted follow-up messages after his initial post. Aliens built the pyramids, obviously. That's his first tweet. Then he came back with Ramses II was... The Great Pyramids was the tallest structure made by humans for 3,800 years. 3,800 years. Those are his other tweets. The Great Pyramid was the tallest structure made by humans for 3,800 years. This prompted Egypt's Minister of International Cooperation, Ranel Al-Mashat, to reply to Musk. "I follow your work with a lot of admiration. I invite you and SpaceX to explore the writings about how the pyramids were built and also to check out the tombs of the pyramid builders. Mr. Musk, we are waiting for you."
Ooh.
That sounds almost threatening, doesn't it?
Ominous. Yeah.
That should be the new mummy premise. Elon Musk gets invited in and accidentally, with SpaceX technology, unleashes the mummy spirits. Huh?
That's a good one. Or, if you're ready for this,
I'm ready.
Elon Musk is invited to see how the pyramids are built, and while he's there, a secret cult kidnaps him and entombs him alive, and he becomes the new mummy.
Oh.
How do you like them apples?
What if he goes there and a secret cult grabs him, and when they said they're going to show him how it was built, they take him through a time portal so that he could actually see them being built and then put him into the crypt. So the sarcophagus that they find is actually Elon Musk.
Right.
Yes. King Musketotten. Tootin Musket.
Miska Mouska. Yeah, something like that. I don't know.
But, Egyptian archaeologist Zahi Hawass also responded in a short video in Arabic posted on social media over the weekend, claiming that Musk's argument was a complete hallucination. Ooh, them is fighting words.
Yep.
I found the tombs of the pyramids builders that everyone tell everyone the builders of the pyramids are Egyptians and they were not slaves. He was quoted by saying by Egypt Today. Let me read that again. I don't know if those words made sense. Did it come out sounding right? Like it made sense?
Did to me.
I found the tombs of the pyramid builders that tell everyone that the builders of the pyramids are Egyptians and that they were not slaves.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Just sounded weird in my head. I think, you know what? It's because too much filming. I've been up. I filmed in East Coast. Okay. I was in Minnesota, Central Time Zone, flew to the East Coast. Mm-hmm. So I lose an hour.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Film there. Then I fly to the West Coast. So I'm 3 hour swing.
Yep.
Then back to the Central Time Zone. I don't even know what day of the month it is, what month of the year it is, or who you people are and why you're in my living room.
That's fair.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. So that was the Elon Musk pyramid story. I hope he takes him up on it.
Sure.
But this story was sent to me a lot this week, Tim, and I don't know if anybody read it past the attention grabbing headline, which is a good headline.
Okay.
What the hell is it? Child mummy found in ancient Egyptian tomb is not human, experts discover as god of death theory is revealed. That's a pretty good headline-grabbing story.
Solid headline.
Let's see if it lives up to its headline.
Okay.
Okay?
Yep.
And it's pretty interesting, the pictures I'm seeing. But let's see. A child mummy found in an ancient Egyptian tomb turns out not to be human. Experts discovered the god of death, and the theory has begun. The 3,000-year-old mummy was one of two sent for a CT scan at a hospital in Israel. All right?
Mm-hmm.
Both sarcophagi had been part of the city's maritime museum, but staff doubted that they actually contained mummified hearts. I actually wondered if it was a child because it looked like a small human, said Marcia Javitt, director of medical imaging at Rambam Hospital. I'd like to go there. Rambam Hospital. Rambam, thank you, Bam Hospital. The mysterious child-looking mummy was actually made of plant matter, supposed to represent Osiris, the ancient Egyptian lord of the underworld and the god of the dead. It's what is known as a grain mummy or a corn mummy, said Ron Hillel, registrar of the Hafia Museums. These contain mud and grains that were shaped like a mummy, hence the name. Grain mummies were symbolic of the god Osiris. The other sarcophagus contained a mummified bird, most likely a falcon. Falcons were closely associated with Horus, the god of kingship and of the sky. The circumstances in which the mummies were originally discovered still remain unclear. It's possible that they were buried in a tomb, potentially even a pharaoh's tomb, as an offering to the gods on behalf of the dead. Artifacts and certain animals would be placed in with the mummified remains whenever a tomb was created for a human being. The ancient Egyptians reportedly mummified birds, cats, crocodiles, and fish. Birds in ancient Egypt had a very important role because they were brought or thought to be the protectors, so they would often place them in tombs with the pharaohs. According to Dr. Javitt, the mummies date back to between 2,500 to 3,000 years ago. So I know what they read in the headlines, and the one photograph gives you this creepy image because they did this MRI, and it looks like an MRI of this bird-headed creature, but you can see teeth and what looks like a nose. So it's like this very godlike, creepy thing. But they only read the headline, not realizing that it's not, in fact, the god of death inside the sarcophagus or some kind of alien baby. It was just mud and corn shafts.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, which was our original wrestling names back in the early 1960s. Mud and Corn Chefs. Yeah. That's it for this week, kids. We are done with Supernatural News and Parashare. Pick up the phone and give us a call. We're lonely. We miss your voices. We want to hear from you. And now that the Holzer Files has wrapped production on season two, I'm going to have more time to myself. So I want to hear your calls. Give us a call. Be a part of the show. Or write in. Email me, dave@darknessradio.com. Continue to share your stories. And I'm going to ask you again, if you have any spooky video, photographs, strange evidence of the other world, not orbs, but if you have any other strange evidence, we have a TV show that is currently seeking that I'm working closely with on a new project. So please let me know. Email them to me, dave@darknessradio.com. And make sure to tune in to Tim's possibly long-running new series or one-off episode that may or may not have aired on the 12th.
Right.
Paranormal Night Shift.
Right. Yeah.
That's the name of the show.
Right.
Hopefully.
Hopefully.
So check that out for yourself. That's it for this week. Thank you for tuning in and spending some time with us. We'll be back tomorrow with more of the best in paranormal talk radio, omnipresent. We're going to talk with Lynn Monet about her very haunted and terrifying experience with the dark forces within her home. That's tomorrow right here on Darkness Radio.